Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market blog, which we will link below this interview. Mark, you're kind of our go-to currency guy here, and quite frankly, currencies were on a lot of people's minds this month, especially because of the increase we saw in the U.S. dollar. It's been a couple month run, really this whole year the dollar has been moving higher, but just this last month it skyrocketed higher. Right now, closing the month right around 103, just above 103. It began the month under 100, right around 98. Mark, what's driving all this move into the U.S. dollar? Is it simply because the Fed is hiking more than other central banks? Is it because of the weakness in other countries? Is it all of it to one? What's your thought?
Yeah, so I think you're right. The dollar index is up about 4% this month. I mean, think about what the U.S. bond yield, let's say we're talking about 3% even on the 10-year bond. You get that in the currency. That's how important the currency is, which is really why, even after all these years, I still am very passionate about the foreign exchange market. These moves are just huge compared to any fixed income. And even when you think about the equity market, the difference of having the dollar at your back these days, so in the past month, look at some of these currency moves. I mean, leaving even aside the Japanese yen, which is of course a big one, down about 5%. But, you know, the Aussie is down even more than the Japanese yen this month. And so, and same thing with the New Zealand dollar. And so what's driving this? So one thing is it's a broad dollar strength. It's not just individual countries' problems, but it's broad dollar strength. It's sort of the first big impression one is given. And that, I think, is primarily because of what the market has come to believe is going to be a very aggressive turn by the Federal Reserve. You know, a lot of people have been criticizing them because they're slow to react to the rising inflation pressures. And so what we've seen in between the rhetoric and the other policy signals, the market is now saying the Federal Reserve is going to raise the Fed funds rate in the next four meetings, starting next week, 50 basis points a shot. And that is even after the U.S. surprises and reports a contraction in Q1 GDP. So I begin off with a very aggressive Fed tightening compared to most other countries, especially the large economies. And here's what the market has done. At the end of last month, the market was saying that the Fed funds at the end of the year said it was going to be at 225, and we're still really more or less, we're at 275 now. So it's raised it by about 50 basis points over the course of the month. And the other thing I think that's happening is, who are the U.S. rivals? What was going to happen? What was supposed to be like this? A lot of the stuff I read always is like doom and gloom about the U.S., the leadership of hegemonic crisis and whatnot. And here's, in the last 6 months, it seems, or 2 months even, Russia has shot itself in the foot. This damage that's going to suffer on its economy, even if it gets a military victory, which might still be a big if. One of the chief agitator in the world economy is more isolated. Europe is more tied to the U.S. through energy and defense. China, the economy looks like horrible shape. We can talk about the U.S. GDP, but China looks like there's something really wrong with it. And I think that how it's dealing with COVID, I think, and people just being more aware that what's happening in Ukraine could happen elsewhere, and the sanctions and what that means, and so the trade ties and the vulnerabilities. So I think that the U.S. right now is coming out ahead, even though it's not doing much positive. The Federal Reserve raising interest rates aggressively, and the challengers that are being embroiled in their own problems.
Yeah, Mark, it's a bizarre stew of different forces where we've got high inflation in the U.S., but we also have high inflation in some other countries. But we have central banks that are kind of split. Some central banks are aggressively hiking with the U.S. leading the forefront. Other central banks in Asia are still easing. And so I'm wondering what this high dollar will do to foreign currencies, but what it'll also do to emerging markets that have a lot of U.S. debt and U.S. dollars, and their debt is now going up. And it's also interesting to see just how bad Europe is doing And it's kind of tied to this Ukraine situation and its energy prices, because it's reliant on Russia for natural gas and energy. And so now it's in the hurt locker and having to buy more expensive energy from the U.S. So it's a bizarre mix of components. I guess my question is, do you think this strong dollar is eventually going to cause other nations to actually ask the Fed to slow it down a little bit and maybe temper their pace?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think that the Fed is concerned about like these stability in general. I don't think that I don't think it thinks itself as the world's central bank. That is to look out for other countries, developing countries as well. And I think that when it does offer these swap lines, like it has in the past, it's not doing so much because Uncle Sam is generous. I think it's doing so in self-interest, albeit enlightened self-interest, realizing that a financial crisis abroad for people who have access to the dollar has ripple effects through the U.S. banking system. So through the swaps, they make those dollars available. But I think you're right. I think countries are getting squeezed between two big forces. One is the Fed raising interest rates and a strong dollar. And the other side of it is this impact from China. You know, at first, when Russia invaded Ukraine, it was a supply challenge, right? Getting the grains, metals, some energy. It was really a supply issue. But with what's going on in China, it's more on demand. Demand of commodities, the world's commodities, as the factory of the world, frankly, shuts down or shuts down 40% of the economy or so. So I think that this is a hard time. I think they were still in for some difficult challenges for countries having to deal with either high food, high energy prices, being squeezed by, as you say, debt in dollars, a more expensive dollar at higher interest rates, and perhaps even weaker commodity prices for some of these emerging market economies.
So, Mike, what's your takeaway from this broad environment that we're seeing where it's just weakness across the board? It's market weakness, and it seems like economic weakness now. These haven't really lined up in this sense for quite a while. I think mostly because we have had central banks continuing to pump. But either way, you look across the board at markets, across the board at economies, it's weak everywhere.
Yeah, so I think that we have to, like, for me, it's really a question of how far are we in the adjustment process? So, for example, the market, the swaps market is saying that the Fed funds and, say, Bank of Canada interest rates peak between, say, 3.25 and 3.5. So already we're seeing some U.S. banks talking more positively about U.S. treasuries as the long end, say the 10-year, the 30-year, trade around 3%. But the 2-year, it's trading, you know, it still seems to be cheap relative to where where you think Fed funds are going to be in 2 years, right? And that's part of the problem then, is that the adjustment might not be completely over. The U.S. 2 years trading 270. And so if you think Fed funds peaks next year, closer to 3%, seems to me that the adjustment's not fully there in the 2 year yet. And the other thing that sort of tells me that maybe it's a little bit early to fight these trends, even though they're extreme by whatever kind of measure, you know, momentums or Bollinger bands or whatnot, the spikes involved. The thing that still tells me it might not be over is that there's too many people I see who are trying to fight it. They're too early. And if I say that, we're talking about this before, the positioning in the euro, for example, you know, so we don't know spot positions. No one really keeps track on an individual basis because important large pools of capital might be transacting at several banks, sometimes simultaneously. And so, but we do have in the futures market, we get a sense of the difference between speculators, that is people who don't have an underlying business need, and the commercials, the banks and the people who are like legitimate hedgers. And so we look at the speculative positioning and they're long. The speculators, as of last Tuesday, we get the CFTC data later today, but as of last Tuesday, the market was long 31,000 euro contracts. Billions of dollars worth of euros, they're long. They're fighting this move of weakness. And I think that I want to see them capitulate. And I think that what will have to happen is the net long position has to gotta become a net short position. And then not just a small net short position, but a real, like a decent sized short position to to let you know that they're doing it with conviction. That's the real capitulation. And so I haven't seen that yet. And even on days like on today, as we're talking earlier today, the Politburo of China released a statement in the middle of their session promising more support for the economy. And the Asian stock markets liked it. Europe spilled over positive influence. We here in the U.S., we still can't sustain much of a rally. And when we do, it's really like a dead cat bounce. You get that rally for a day and just provide others a better opportunity to unload.
Well, Mark, I have a question for you about all those people that are still long the euro. I mean, there are a lot of people that think that the strong dollar and the weak euro will eventually reverse. And I had asked you before we started recording, do you think it's potential that some of this move in the dollar and some of this, you know, move down in the euro was people getting squeezed in both directions, that the longs were getting squeezed in the euro and that the shorts were getting squeezed in the dollar? Do you think that there is a point, though, where some of this will reverse a little bit, take some of the pressure off, and let markets equilibrate a little bit more?
Yeah, so I do think that we're like, maybe we need some like near-term consolidation, and maybe this week ahead of us provides that opportunity, partly because of the May Day holiday. And also, I wonder if one of the two highlights of the week would be the FOMC meeting and the U.S. jobs data. But we already sort of know, I think we know, that the Fed's going to raise rates 50 basis points and signal that they'll begin letting their balance sheet shrink maybe starting in June and ramping it up to about $95 billion a month. And we also know that the jobs market is tight, and we should be expecting something around another 400,000 in non-farm payrolls. But so maybe that becomes the, maybe we'll buy the dollar ahead of these events and then begin selling it, sort of buy the rumor, sell the fact, leaving some near-term consolidation.
Mark, what about all the other news then from next week? Anything else that's going to be market moving, or is it all priced in your eyes?
Yeah, no, I think a couple of other things will be interesting. One is the Reserve Bank of Australia. The Australian dollar just been hard. It lost more this month than it had gained in the previous 3 months. And the Reserve Bank of Australia reported a somewhat higher than expected CPI. They reported on a quarterly basis, so higher than expected Q1 CPI, above 5%. And the Reserve Bank of Australia meets next week, and many people like myself thought that they would hold out until after the election on May 21st. But after that CPI number, the market's pricing in with a high degree of confidence. They raise rates 15 basis points, bringing them up to 25. The market thinks Australia's going to be on a very aggressive tightening path this year, about 240 basis points between now and the end of the year. I think that's a little bit rich, and I think that the RBA could push against it. The other kind of interesting thing next week will be the UK. The Bank of England meets. The market expects them to raise rates 25 basis points, and another 25 basis points the following month. And that means that, well, I put it this way, what this means is that at the beginning of the year, the UK and U.S. rates were about the same for 2 years. And now U.S. offers 100 basis points more than the U.K. does. So sterling's taken a drubbing too. The other interesting thing is they have local elections on the same day the Bank of England meets. And it's, the Tories have gotten sort of lagging in a lot of the polls, their local elections. And this can sort of re-excite sort of U.K. politics and the pressure on Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
All right, Mark, thank you for your time. It was an interesting month broadly for currencies. And again, the weakness across the board in markets and economies also needs to be factored into that. Next week, it's a whole new month and a whole new set of central bank meetings and data, undoubtedly going to cause some volatility. Who knows if they're going to actually change any of the current trends, though. Mark, thank you, as always, for your time. We'll hopefully chat again next week, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.